The US venture capital industry is envied throughout the world as an engine of economic growth. And although the collective imagination romanticizes the industry, it can be a brutal and lonely place. But that market, along with Israel, are the best examples of connecting invention and innovation with the financial muscle to take ideas to market. And a strong reason we see those economies spawning the business champions that are today's tech giants. Now, the entrepreneur is the modern-day cowboy roaming new industrial frontiers, much the same way that earlier Americans explored the West. At his side stands a venture capitalist, a trailwise sidekick ready to help the hero through all the tight spots in exchange, of course, for a piece of the action. Now, if we're serious about growing the economy in South Africa through supporting new businesses and not just mom and pop small and micro businesses, we have to start seeing growth in startups. We need to start seeing more venture capital money backing more investable ideas the same way it's done in the US and Israel. And that's why the release of the recent Savka Venture Capital Survey is so interesting. It shows that we're starting to see a rise in VC investments off a low but steadily rising base. And perhaps more importantly, the local VC landscape experienced record investment and exit activity in 2019. I'm joined now by Tanya van Lille, Savka CEO, Stefan Lamprecht, the MD of Venture Solutions, which is a VC consultancy, and Andrea Bomert, who is a co-managing partner at venture capital firm Knife Capital. Stefan, at its heart, what is the definition of venture capital in the South African context, where historically we've had such a low risk tolerance?
I think it's very much around the risk capital available to entrepreneurs. And when we're talking entrepreneurs, we're talking about startup businesses and really giving that first money required to get into business and then taking growth to the point that we can start getting sustainability and creating jobs.
And this is Tanya, to bring you in here, this is a survey that was done pre-COVID. This is a 2019 venture capital survey. Just tell me a little bit more about the survey, how it's conducted, and we see at the headline level, record investment and exit activity. And I think on the exit side, that's very encouraging because exits can be tricky in this space. Just tell me a little bit more about the survey.
So Michael, this is the seventh survey that Savka's conducted together with our research partner Venture Solutions. And the first survey was actually conducted in 2010 and looked at the previous 10 years. And there was hardly any activity to report on. So the survey only took place every 2 to 3 years. But since 2017, we saw so much activity and growth in the venture capital sector that the survey has now become an annual feature in the Savka calendar. And this year, what we saw is that although the report looks at the 2019 activities, there was a lot of growth and a good foundation for the venture capital industry to work from, specifically in the current environment that we find ourselves in.
Stefan, back to you, because you conduct a lot of the interviews and the research for the survey. When is the research conducted? Were you impacted by COVID-19 at all? Did it make it easier, more difficult?
Yeah, so the survey itself covers the calendar year 2019, but the research is done and it literally finished in the last month. So this year the survey was very much a COVID-19 survey. So all done through Zoom sessions. Everything is online. It actually was a very good year to do the survey. In terms of data and getting access to figures, people have been a lot more forthcoming, people have been sharing a lot more than they did in previous years, and people made available their time to really discuss the ins and outs of their transactional activity. We had the discussion earlier as well in terms of, you know, how did that affect the investors themselves, and for most of them, it was business as usual. I did not get one cancellation of an interview as a result of COVID. There were even some people that were in severe isolation, and despite that, they were still participating. So, yeah, I think it was business as usual. And the outlook in terms of, you know, the coming year has been quite good.
Well, you know, many VCs live out on the Breda River, so that, as most people would call that, severe isolation. Andrea, from your vantage point, we look at the record exit activity. What does that indicate to you about the health of local VC? Because obviously exits happen further down the line. It probably tells you that the vintages conducted in previous years were probably pretty good vintages around 2011, 12 or thereabouts. How would you best sum up the state and the health of venture capital in South Africa in 2019?
I think it's quite promising to go and see that there's so much more activity. So much more activity, of course, in terms of investment, but also the size of investments. But the exit activity, of course, is fantastic. Because what it shows is that this whole investment cycle kind of go and gets concluded. It's one thing to kind of go and put money into a company. But at the end, what we want to go is we want to generate returns. And you can only go and generate returns if we somehow go as investors get our money back. And exits is just one of those ways to kind of go and do this. And the fact that we now have exits actually just shows that the asset class itself, the concept of venture capital actually works in South Africa. And I think that's very, very important. That's very promising.
Yeah, without having that that proof, it's going to be very difficult to raise funds or follow-up funds and get investors believing in the asset class as well. Stefan, what do you make of the record exit numbers in 2019?
I think it's been some time in the coming. I think people have been priming a lot of their investments for exiting because they need to make space also, not just financially, but also from a human capital point of view in terms of having capacity to manage your portfolio. You can't just have the portfolio growing and growing and growing because nobody's got unlimited capacity. But I think, I mean, the amount is almost R1 billion that was returned to investors in 2019 from positive exits. I mean, that's phenomenal. If you think about the fact that we've only in recent years, I mean, this is the second year that we've exceeded R1 billion in terms of the amount of money that went into the sector or into the asset class, you know, so almost R1 billion return from that is a phenomenal result for South Africa. And the number of exits, we're talking about 38 exits, almost 300%, 310% more than last year. That also points towards the number, not just in one operator, but in many operators that are priming exits. Mm. And getting the benefit from it. Now, so I think it's a very good result for South Africa.
It's unlisted. It's a naturally opaque sort of asset class. Are you able to measure returns on an average basis or multiples that were exited? Do you have access to that kind of data?
I do. So the figure that we use, or the metric that we use, is times money. And the times money based on this, keeping in mind that some of these original investments took place, you know, even 5 to 10 years ago. But the times money in terms of what was put in and what came out on average amounted to 4.4 times money. And that is quite good. Some of those exits were recent investments, so that the times factor would be significantly higher. And that proves that the industry can actually deliver return on investment that is not just an industry for cowboys, but it's really a place where people can make money. And I think there's one of the other statistics that we've got there in terms of where the money comes from. The majority of the money that's invested by our VCs come from the corporate sector. You know, and that points towards alignment between business strategy. It's not just, you know, some kind of DFI funding or, you know, social investment funding that is now finding its way to entrepreneurs. But it is corporate South Africa that is putting its money where its mouth is, in terms of saying, but for our future products and our future services, this is where we need to invest. And that's a very good sign for the future.
And it's not just some angel investor with a wine farm who knows someone with a good tech idea.
Quite a few of those as well. I think one of the things that I'd like to mention that was very exciting for me is that, and that came forth from having the opportunity to do a lot more interviews this year, is that a lot of times when one looks at a report like this, you know, it's figures, it's a lot of numbers, but there's a lot of human involvement here. And the message that came forth for me is one of the areas that we covered is the so-called venture leasing. It's where venture capital money is raised for the purposes of doing asset leasing or financing an asset to an entrepreneur, where the venture capitalist itself is also an equity partner to that business. But if you start digging into these transactions and start engaging with people in terms of what do they actually lease and what are these type of businesses about, it is phenomenal to see the innovation that is taking place at the investor level. So not just the entrepreneur, but at the investor level, to really find areas where I can apply my capital and get returns that I might not be able to get elsewhere. And the message for me from that was very clear to say, you know, we talk about Section 12J and there's a sunset clause effect next year. The reality is we need to get the money to the people in South Africa that can use that money. And that is not just entrepreneurs, but it's also the people that understand how to leverage that money.
Absolutely.
And let that money work for us. And that to me was quite phenomenal.
And on that point, Tanya, in addition to that record exit activity, last year also proved significant when it came to investment activity, 2019 showing the highest activity recorded to date, both by value and in terms of the number of transactions as well. What do you see driving a lot of this increased deal flow last year in particular?
Well, Michael, what I think is as the sector is maturing, we're seeing a lot more VC fund managers coming to the fore. Also, you'll see in the report itself, we actually indicate how many VC fund managers have participated. So there's a real growth in the number of players in the industry, which I think it's also driving this. And it's also where investors are getting more comfortable with venture capital. There's this perception about how risky venture capital is. And I think by adding a broader investor pool, whether it's high net worth individuals, whether it's corporates playing in the space, it really opens up a lot more channels and a lot more opportunities to make investments. And I think where we need where it needs to go is more VC fund managers with bigger funds that can make co-investments and follow-on investments. Because we're seeing our local VC fund managers lose out on good deals because they don't have the depth of capital to follow on in terms of their own investments.
I think that is a very important point, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here because I want to leave that for the end of the conversation, how we better support the industry. Just, Andrea, to go back before we lose the point around Section 12J, how important has that been in the rise of VC? Over the last 4 or 5 years, if you look at the graph, there was a definite sea change around 2014-15. Is that all down to Section 12J?
No, it's not all down to Section 12J. There's also the corporate investors coming in and so on. So no, it's not all down to 12J, but 12J definitely had some impact. I mean, just the fact that now you can actually raise capital not being dependent on institutional investors and where are they and so on. So actually that you could now go and raise money from private individuals who of course get a tax return in return for doing so, definitely kind of allowed a lot of funds that previously struggled to kind of go and raise funding, to kind of go and get funding, and to kind of go and start deploying it into the market. So it has definitely made a significant impact. Whether it made the impact exactly where it was supposed to go and be heading, meaning investing in small SMEs to really kind of go and create employment and so on, that's of course it's a different kind of story. But in terms of the number of investors out there in the market, absolutely 12J was a success. Absolutely worked.
Yeah, Tanya, if you look through the survey, tech has traditionally been the strong sector when it comes to VC. Does that follow in the South African context as well? Where are you seeing some interesting fund flows in terms of sectors?
So what we've seen is the food and beverage sector received the most investments in terms of value of investments. But if you look at the tech sector and if you group software, business products and services, fintech, and technology-based investments, it's over 56% of the investments flow into tech kind of businesses. So although we're seeing a broad range of sectors receiving support, it does seem to be concentrated 50 to 60% in the tech space.
And with that, Stefan, I did pick up agri-tech is starting to show a notable uptick as well.
Well, look, there's one operator in Cape Town that's made international fame with, you know, their technology. It's in the public domain and focusing on drone technology in the agriculture sector. And they've received quite a number of investment, not just from one operator, but from many of the VC funds have gotten into that transaction. So that's quite big. And I think that's exciting for South Africa because agriculture is a huge thing in our country. It's a huge driver of economic activity. I think at the moment it's the fastest resounding the sector that is the fastest recovering following COVID. So it makes sense that we need to see a lot more investment in tech for agriculture, same as what you mentioned Israel earlier on. We're seeing that already in the financial services sector with the amount of investment that's going into fintech kind of transactions. So it's to be expected, and I really hope to see more of that in the future. It's good for the economy.
Really good for the economy. And Andrea, given that the survey of yesteryear, I should say, because it was a 2019 survey, showed record growth, and given all of the dire predictions around COVID, what are your predictions for 2020? What do you expect the 2020 survey to reveal?
I expect 2020 to actually be not too bad. I mean, absolutely COVID has impacted us, but what COVID has really impacted is, I think, speed. So people are doing transactions, absolutely. It just takes a little bit longer. I think we were all a little bit disrupted for about 2 months to kind of go and find our feet and focus a little bit more on our existing portfolio companies. But all over, I just see transactions happening. So I think 2020 will actually be a good year. I think the nature of transactions might have slightly kind of changed. Absolutely, investors need to kind of go and look at business models, need to look at what are they going to invest in. And to be honest, the process of investing was impacted, because normally you're going to go and sit around the table, you negotiate, you go and do your diligence by actually meeting with the entrepreneurs. And that's something, of course, we couldn't do. So as I said, that, of course, that impacted how long it actually takes to do a transaction. So we are doing transactions, and yes, they've all taken about 2 months longer than they would normally take, absolutely. But I actually expect 2020 to be a good year.
And that's sort of counter to some of the narrative that you hear on the street, Stefan. The fact is that deal making continues, business continues. Everyone thought that the world just went into cryogenic stasis over the last 6 months.
Yeah, I think that also speaks to the heart of venture capital and why that is a good economic instrument. If you just consider the way that venture capital works and where the fund is being raised for deployment later on, most of the people that we engage with this year, they were not affected by COVID in the sense of the money that needs to be spent, because that money was already raised before COVID. In future years, one will have to see what the impact will be on fundraising going forward. But you know, most of the people sat in a situation where they're saying, well, we've got this money. If we don't spend this money, we're going to have to return it to our investors, or we're not going to get our fees. So let's be innovative. Let's go and really do the hard work in terms of getting the money deployed. And absolutely, I mean, that is what we need to see. We need to get money to the people that need the money, either being the entrepreneurs or the people that need to create those jobs. But that is critical.
Tanya, what are your thoughts for 2020? Probably still early days to give a firm prediction, but would you say that things might surprise on the upside?
I think we'll see good deal activity, but we won't see the record deal activity that we've seen the last 2 years. As Andrea said, a lot of the VC fund managers or the investors, the first 2 or 3 months after COVID hit South African shores, was about triage and about supporting the existing portfolio and portfolio companies and reevaluating those business models to make sure that they survive post-COVID and that they're financially strong. But we have seen that those that have funds, as Stefan said, are still investing. So we're still seeing good deals happening. We're seeing that there's both local and international investors conducting deals, not only in South Africa, but also on the African continent. So there's a lot of VC activity happening on the African continent itself and not just in South Africa.
And another interesting trend from COVID, Andrea, was the fact that it accelerated this digital transformation. And given that that's really where VC finds its sweet spot, is the asset class now perhaps slightly less risky as a result of COVID?
So I definitely don't think that it's more risky. I mean, absolutely. I think what it shows, I mean, venture capital is there to kind of go and catalyze innovation, catalyze disruptive kind of technology. And I think if one thing COVID has done is that disrupted a lot of things. So now for those entrepreneurs who actually have solutions for this, they needed money. If venture capital can kind of go and fund this, and I think it actually proves the case for venture capital. It really shows that if a new opportunity comes up, and with disruption, that's what happens. New opportunities come up. For those entrepreneurs who have a solid kind of valuable position to kind of go and fill this void and actually kind of go and do something, I mean, the money is there and that's what has been supported. So I actually think it has proven why venture capital is needed. and that it actually works. So for me, it has nothing to do with, is it more risky? It's actually, it just shows that when disruption comes, when innovation is required, venture capital is just one of those asset classes to support this. And I think that's what we've done.
Stefan, on that point, it really was a question around whether the asset class might now be viewed more favorably just because it plays in this arena of the digital transformation. Do you think it makes it a slightly easier sell to go out there and raise funds and say, right, this is where we're investing, and we're investing in this new economy?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't necessarily ascribe that as a result of COVID. I think if you look at the numbers over the last 5 years, more and more people coming into the sector. If you take 12J, you know, there's the money that's come in, but there's also an enormous amount of people that's gotten into VC that weren't previously seeing themselves as venture capitalists. The more people are involved, the easier it is to learn from each other, the easier it is to find which business models work, which don't work. If you have to do fundraising, which sources should you approach, which shouldn't you approach? And that is the kind of ecosystem that we all talk about that is starting to gain momentum and start making it easier to do business. And I think that is it's a big ship. It's taken probably the better part of 10 years to really try and create that kind of direction. But I think that momentum is there, and that's going to continue. And I would say, not seeing this as a challenge to anybody or anything, but I don't see that momentum changing. I see that momentum has picked up regardless of poor economic climate, regardless of poor economic policy, regardless of the fact that there's still no institutional investment. So despite all those negative factors, we just keep seeing positives. And that momentum to me speaks about something that relates to the fact that I think we've been a little bit behind the curve in terms of investing in entrepreneurs in our country. And the backlog of doing that is so big that we need to increase and increase and increase and see increased activity before we'll ever get to the opportunity of really satisfying the need that is out there for new products and services. So I cannot see anything but positive looking forward in terms of investment activity.
On the issue, and you know, where are the institutional investors is the broad question, but we do see the SA SME fund that's entered into the ecosystem just of late. Andrea, do you see it just as a matter of time before big institutions really start coming into the VC world in a meaningful way in South Africa?
I think the SASME Fund has done a tremendous job by catalyzing existing and new fund managers. And with this, actually, hopefully encouraging more institutional investors to kind of go and follow. So the point is that while we have, of course, funds here in South Africa, the funds are too small. So we can't actually kind of go and do too many kind of meaningful deals. And for first-time fund managers, it is so extremely difficult to kind of go and get the first money. And that's where the SASME Fund has really kind of come to the table. They really have kind of go and done a lot to kind of go and catalyze the industry and help fund managers to really go and do this. Now, of course, it's up to the fund managers to prove that we can deploy the money and get the return. So it's now over to us. But you know what? You need to be given the chance. You need to be given the opportunity. We now have this. We need to kind of go and do this. And hopefully the results will then finally kind of go and convince the traditional institutional investors to kind of go and follow suit and actually invest in the asset class.
Andrea, I want to stay with you for a second longer and just talk about your fundraising efforts. Is the narrative around South Africa and the politics making it more difficult to raise funds?
I wish I could say no, but I can't. Absolutely. So the big problem is because the traditional institutional investors in South Africa are not really supporting the VC asset class, we need to go overseas to go and raise money. And the moment you try to kind of go and raise and try to speak to international investors overseas about South Africa, there is a lot of eagerness. They actually want to, particularly those who've been to South Africa, are quite keen to kind of go and they see it. But they simply say, unfortunately, if you look at political risk and if you look at the economic risk now, it is very, very difficult to convince their investment managers to kind of go and say, we are allocating money into South Africa. So the narrative is actually at the moment not good. I mean, we've had a number of, so we are currently raising a fund and we are speaking to a number of international investors who in principle is saying we tick every box. The only box that we not tick is the South Africa box, is the political kind of risk box. And to be honest, it is really about us as an asset class coming together and making sure that the narrative kind of works. And surveys like this one now, of course, is something that really helps us, because now we can actually kind of go and tell them, look at the growth, look at the potential, the exits are there. That's what we desperately need. But yeah, it's not easy at the moment. No, the narrative is unfortunately at the moment counting a bit against us.
Stefan, just as a last comment on that narrative, it's why I think the phrase goes, confidence is the cheapest form of stimulus. We need to see that narrative shift. Are you confident that the president is doing the right things, that we are starting to see this giant ship, SA Inc., start to turn the corner?
I think, and I mean, that speaks to more a question of faith than data. But I think, yes, the answer is yes. I think a lot of what we're talking about is very easily conceived or perceived to be politically incorrect, because, you know, it's the Stellenbosch crowd and all these labels that we've given, which are not true. The data doesn't support that. I think from a transformation point of view, a jobs creation point of view, and in terms of where the money is coming from, there is very clear indication that this is a transformed industry. And I see the president backing that. The president started off his term talking very much about the need to support our entrepreneurs. I don't think that has changed. I think he might have been sidetracked in terms of his agenda related to, you know, dealing with COVID and dealing with the challenges in his own parliament. But the narrative around, you know, let's support the people that's going to create the new economy, that narrative has not changed. And I think we will see an acceleration going into the future. However, as I mentioned earlier, the VC sector has developed in the way it has, despite all these different narratives and despite all the different policy interventions or lack of policy interventions. And it's more forming a backstop to the real economy in South Africa. And that need is there. And I don't see that changing. So I think the president can do well to just get back behind it and really take up some of the success stories and use that for his own, because I think that really supports his agenda.
Yeah, and not only unlocking local capital, but foreign capital as well, to Andrea's point. That was a fascinating panel with Stefan Lomprecht, MD of Venture Solutions, Tanya van Lille, CEO of Savka, and Andrea Bomert, co-managing partner of Knife Capital. It's all about hope for the future of VC. Sometimes, though, in South Africa, it's the hope that kills you.